hostile zone, hosted by the infamous and dangerous and much lied about Eric A. Sinani. This is where public corruption, abuse of power, a waste and misabuse of public dollars, and ultimately using your personal position for gaining power influence over others is it met with extreme hostility. Otherwise, everyone else is welcome. Welcome to the Hostile Zone.
Welcome to the Hostile Zone for this special edition of the Hostile Zone. You're with the infamous and dangerous and always in your face. Pull back in that curtain, calling a spade, giving you the real crux, the real news as it is. Eric Andrew Sinani, Eric A. Sinani. Who?
Eric Sinani, of course.
Right here on your FM dial, 99.9 KKTC. True country.
True America.
True Sinani, because folks, Sinani is on your side. Welcome to this special edition of the Hostile Zone. Today is a very serious Hostile Zone. So let's just get right into it. Welcome to this special edition of the Hostile Zone, America in Crisis. Tonight, we're going to delve into one of the most pivotal moments in our most recent history of our nation. In your lifetime, my lifetime, your lifetime, your children, everybody's lifetime, this is something that we will remember, regardless of what your political stance is. If you vote at all, if you are a citizen, a resident, or just whatever you are here in the United States, if you are an ally of the United States, if you are an enemy of the United States, this is a crucial, pivotal moment in our country. A former president of the United States has been convicted of 34 felony charges. Former President Donald Trump was convicted in Manhattan County, or the borough of Manhattan, Manhattan County, under the district attorney, Bragg, B-R-A-G-G, prosecuted former President Trump, 34 counts of fraud. And we're going to break that down, folks. But just remember, a president was now brought before the judicial system during a campaign. Remember one thing. Abraham Lincoln once said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Let me say that again. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Okay? I almost forgot to introduce our on-air vocalist. It was such a serious moment. Miss Bianca C, S-E-A.
Bianca C, that's me. You know, that statement is very true.
Right. Let's just get out the details. The Hostile Zone at bbstalkradio.com. The Hostile Zone at bbstalkradio.com. Eric at ericandrewsinati.com. Bianca C at The Hostile Zone at bbstalkradio.com. And the text number?
It's 917-877-0171.
Thank you. So as I was just saying, folks, I was giving you a quote from one of my favorites, Abraham Lincoln. These words resonate profoundly right now as we witness illegal and political ramifications of an unprecedented event. An event that no one could have foreseen, has never happened in the past, and no one ever foreseen that this would happen. So let me break it down to you and help you understand the implications of what exactly has transpired and how this affects you, me, our nation as a whole, how it affects President Trump, how it affects President Biden, and how it disenfranchises every single voter in this United States, how it weakens the security of our nation. This is not a politically charged conversation. This is calling a spade, news commentary coming at you. I'm looking down. I actually put notes together for this one. So if you see me looking down here, if you're watching, you'll know that that's what I'm doing. But I did prepare a little more than usual so I can break it down. Okay. So background, President Donald Trump was convicted of 34 counts of felonies. Now, let me explain a little bit of information. I'm going to get into further detail.
What's the 34?
I'm going to get into the into the specifics of them, but understand that these charges stem from the years of 2016 to 2017. And technically, the charges were actually the federal government turned down to prosecute this case. Mm-hmm. Other district attorneys did not want to pursue this case because they felt there was no case to be had. So this all of a sudden magically appeared right during the presidential campaign.
What timing, huh?
Go figure that one, folks. Mm. So 34 felonies, which, by the way, they were upgraded to a felony, although there does not seem to be much explanation. I have some legal jargon, but I'm not going to see-hole you into that today. But if you want, you can email in, and I will be providing more as we move forward on that. However, it's 34 counts, but they technically were borderline a felony or a misdemeanor. Hmm. These are the lowest possible felony that you can get. They were really misdemeanors, but they were upgraded in the legal sense, lawyer cap on, upgraded to a felony via an indictment where a jury of 24 people meet and they are provided information by the district attorney. And the district attorney provides facts and whatever they want to present. And the old saying, you can indict a ham sandwich. An indictment means nothing. Honestly, this conviction means nothing. This felony means zero. But we'll get into further details. Even though there's 34 counts of it, it means a big Easter egg, goose egg, zero. In the ramifications of life, it's not going to affect Donald Trump's life. He's not going to go to jail. Even though this judge is a little off the wall, I highly doubt he's going to see a second inside. Nobody else would see the inside of that. These were misdemeanors which had exceeded the statute of limitations, meaning District Attorney Bragg could not charge President Trump with them because he did not charge or file the charges, his intent to file the charges, within the allotted time under the law.
Huh.
So the statute, and this is a state case, folks. This runs out of the state of New York, the borough of Manhattan, or Manhattan County, for those of you that don't know, it is a county. Okay. So they basically, it's 34 separate instances. However, they are a continuous chain of events, as us legal people speak. So for layman's terms, basically, we're talking the hush money trial. And this is about altering business records. So if you're hearing campaign issues, it's altering business. And I'm air quoting if you're watching, business records. Mm-hmm. So basically, and I'm going to talk layman's terms now before I get back into the crux of the legalities of this.
Okay.
So this was the hush money trial with the porn star, adult star, whatever, Stormy Daniels, where he allegedly had sexual relations with this woman. Where did we hear that quote once before? I did not have sexual relations. So did I do that pretty well?
Okay.
But so, you know, and if I was you, Mr. President Clinton, I'd be paying close attention. I would also be paying close attention. Secretary of State Clinton, Hillary Clinton, I'd be paying close attention. And you know what? President Obama, I might pay attention too. And actually, George W., I might pay attention to if I was you, President Bush. Honestly, because this is a precedent move.
Not only them, but I think anybody else that's done like a business of fraud.
Well,
or something
people
like that,
are rushing away.
They are probably shredding evidence as we speak right now.
Here's the thing.
They are so. Right. If it can happen to him.
Right. If it can happen to him, it can happen. But here, see, you led me into another point that it's in my head, it's not in my notes here. And I, if you know me, folks, I'm wearing my pin here, by the way. Today's pin is my commemorative 9/11 pin. This was I wore on our 9/11 episode here. Mm. This was issued to me as being a 9/11 responder. And it was given, it's made of pewter. And it was given to me. And I'm wearing it today because America is crying today. America is in crisis. Not because Donald Trump was indicted. Okay. But I'm not going to boast Donald Trump. Yes. Did I vote for Donald Trump? I did. Am I going to vote for him again? Maybe. Probably. I don't know. But I can tell you that this show is not going to, is not going to flatter him nor beat him up. I'm just going to call a spade a spade. But I just want to make sure, I want to make it very clear. Mm-hmm. I'm wearing this pin because on it, it says United We Stand.
Yeah, that does okay? remind me of a time when
yes.
everybody,
and that's why
both
I did
sides
not,
were united. Yeah.
Being a 9/11 responder, and it altered the course of my life and hence got me here today where I am. Mm-hmm. And the reason I'm wearing that today is because I remember that time after 9/11 where we truly, everybody flew a flag. And everybody loved each other, regardless of race, color, creed, religion, or whatever. And I wear that pin today. It's solidarity of the people that lost their life. Because if you remember, I said on our Memorial Day special, people will kill for freedom and people will die for freedom. People still are climbing a fence to get into this nation for a reason. We are the greatest nation in the world. So, okay.
I remember that time when people actually would help each other out, you know, anytime like there was, for instance, like, you know, somebody fell or something,
right.
they would help right. them out, or like people would open doors
Let
for
me just
each
tell
other
you,
when,
for me,
when they were
being,
carrying something heavy, you know, stuff like that around.
Being a 9/11 responder and being there, it was a difficult experience for me. It definitely is fortified into my brain, solidified into my brain, cemented into my brain, if you will. And yes, you are absolutely right, Miss Bianca. We all treated each other so kind. And I remember a time where people were holding a paper up to the TV people saying, if you've seen my husband, my son, my daughter, where did we go wrong? That was only 23 years ago. So moving forward. So
now, like, we're divided by red and blue.
Red and blue. Red and blue. And you know what? Here it is. There is a movement. And I don't know if I agree with a third party. I mean, that's another conversation for another day. But what I do want to say is there definitely is a divide in both parties, in the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. Because not everybody stands for everything. Now, let me be very clear on something else, and then I want to go on about Manhattan County and a little bit about a district attorney, Bragg, because I got your number. So,
okay. And what's that?
Here's the thing. President Trump does have a very big mouth. He is very brash. He could be bold. He could be in your face. Just like on here, in your face, right? He could be all those things. And we know that. He could be polarizing to many people. We know that. I know that. You know, we all know this. But does he have the best interests of our country at heart?
Yes.
I believe he does.
I do.
Do I believe that President Biden loves his country and has the best interests of his country at heart? I do. I do believe anybody that puts themselves forth to take the abuse and being in these positions, you must have something. I mean, I've taken a beating for plenty of the things that I've done standing up in the community and being involved. So I totally get that and understand that. Let me give you a little information about District Attorney Bragg's jurisdiction, or in the military we call AOR, Area of Responsibility. Manhattan County, okay? 74% of all criminal cases that come forth from the NYPD, which, by the way, shout out to the NYPD, the New York City Police Department, the finest police department in the world, hands down, shout out to you guys. You are apolitical. I love it. That's what we love about you. I loved growing up 3 miles from you. I loved spending my weekends in the city. I knew I was safe. We worked together on stuff in my job. You guys are the finest. I just had to say that. 74% of charges that are criminal charges brought forth in the District Attorney Bragg's jurisdiction of Manhattan County are either dismissed altogether or downgraded to a misdemeanor. 74% bought me, troll me. 74%. I did the research. 74%. So that means out of all of the cases, 74% either are become a misdemeanor, which is a ticket and go.
Okay.
Right? Or thrown it out altogether.
All right.
So how does, so you, again, I just, my mind is just turning in everybody's mind. If you're listening to the show, you have to be thinking to yourself, that is quite interesting. 74% of all cases that come across a district attorney Bragg's desk, he throws away. He either downgrades to a misdemeanor or just ultimately dismissal. Okay? Let's just hold that into your mind. Because then you must say, why this case? And why this guy?
Yeah.
Have we heard that before?
Why this right? guy? Why?
Political persecution. I don't know. Alan Bragg, I'm sorry, District Attorney Bragg, campaigned. He's an elected official. I never, ever agreed with judges or district attorneys running for their position. They should not be involved in politics. Regardless, he ran to take out Donald Trump, and that was his mission. And Donald Trump has, President Trump has several other cases he has to deal with, but here he is now convicted of 34 felony counts of altering business documents. And this was 34 counts because every time a check was written, they counted that as one account, that as one count. So technically, he paid, and I don't know, okay? I don't know what Mr. Trump did, President Trump did. I don't know if he had sexual relations with Stormy Daniels. Stormy Daniels, you're welcome to come on the show. Open invite to my show. Okay? I don't know if he did. And if he did, I don't really care. Okay? Because that does not have any relevance to the position of President of the United States. Secondly, it was a business transaction. And if it was quote-unquote hush money, and I said this before, how did he know she needed hush money, but for did she ask for it? And then therefore she is then guilty of committing a crime of extortion. Now, that would be a misdemeanor as well. However, it could be upgrade, which would be past the statute of limitations. However, according to statute, we could be generous as well and upgrade her misdemeanor of extortion to a felony, if it was to reach a certain amount of money or have certain implications of quid pro quo,
I just got to say, she knew exactly what she was doing.
Right.
Because obviously, if you go to a hotel room or to the hotel,
if you're an adult porn star, obviously, and you're meeting with one of the richest men in the world, he's not going to hang out and say hi.
Exactly. What do you think was going to happen in the hotel?
I mean, it's not like he raped you, okay? You didn't allege that.
We're talking about
a consensual sexual act, if it occurred.
She just didn't get what she wanted. She wanted money. And she didn't get enough that what she wanted. So then this is where we're at. I don't have respect for her at all.
So I wanted you to know,
maybe if she wasn't a porn star,
or is it an adult actress? Let's be politically correct on the show here.
Honestly, nobody's gonna take that type of person seriously.
To be honest,
what were we?
I do want to say something, Bianca.
If you were gonna meet up with him, you would have done it in a professional manner. Let's have a day lunch or something like that, or meet with.
Let me just interject one sentence because I don't want you to get botted later.
I want
to help you here because I'm with you and I know what you meant.
I know.
But the way it sounded, I want to help you for one second.
Okay.
you're not just because she's an adult or a porn star, because it doesn't matter what you are, you could be a victim.
I didn't want you to take that away.
Because it kind of goes with, she dressed so provocatively.
Any woman that goes to a hotel room with a rich guy or whatever, you know.
But why else you going to the hotel room?
Just say no.
There's plenty of bars to go to. There's plenty of places
to hang out. Just say, I'm sorry, I'm not that type of woman. If you want to really talk to me privately, there's other places that we can meet, and that's it.
Right.
And you don't have to go to a hotel room, and that's it.
And this show is not about Stormy Daniels, and I'm not going
to
give her...
I just needed to say that because it was really, like, bothering me. Because, like, you know how many times, like, somebody would say, oh, you know, go to a hotel? No.
Well,
I'm not.
Let me get into some legal... Let me get into some legal context, okay? So, falsifying business records is considered a serious crime in the New York State Penal Code, specifically Section 175.10, which involves making or causing a false entry into business records with intent to defraud. Keyword, folks, intent to defraud. I'm going to say it one more time. Help me do it. Intent to defraud. If you've listened to any of my shows before, intent is mens rea, the legal term. And I talked about mens rea, actus reus, and corpus delicti. In order for a crime to have occurred, you need all of the elements of a crime. You need mens rea, intent, a guilty mind. Okay? You need actus reus. You need somebody to have actually committed an act that is of against the law, illegal, a violation of a statute or a canon or something. And then corpus delicti, they need to be together as a whole piece to create a crime. I repeat that because do we know that what his intent was? What the real problem I have with this is also is his former attorney, he has attorney-client privilege, okay? There is something that you learn in law school and you learn along the way, but you should definitely learn this. I think, thinking back to my first year in law school, I'm pretty sure it was taught in every single one of my required first-year courses, contracts, criminal procedure, criminal law, civil law, you know, all that stuff. Torts, etc. So it was always discussed in there. Okay. It was always talked about. Some of the best professors out there, Alan Dershowitz, Professor Dershowitz, you're one of the finest. If anybody can cement a legal theory, it would be Professor Emeritus of Harvard Law, Alan Dershowitz. I love sitting through his classes, and he has a podcast, and he is a Democrat, and he is appalled by this situation too. So this is not a party line discussion. So anyway, according to New York State Penal Code, they consider this a serious offense. But the key is here, and here is, and I don't want me going to a C-hole, Miss Bianca.
Okay, I'll try.
what they're alleging is to make this a felonious, that's the big word, felonious, a felony, would be the intent of the hush money or altering the records would be the intent to hide another crime. But when District Attorney Bragg was asked what that other crime is, he said in a news conference, look it up, folks, bot and troll him. He said, I don't have a requirement to tell you that.
Really?
He said that in a news conference. So what is the other crime that he's hiding? Because if this money was made from his business through his attorney, then he got legal counsel from his attorney, his attorney who violated his oath by violating the most sanctified thing that you have as a lawyer is your confidence in your client and you to have privileged conversation. It's like you and your priest, you and your doctor. These are just things. You're your therapist. They're just not touchable. So he did that. He recorded his client. Shocking. He's an attorney. His client, forget it being Donald Trump. He goes into there thinking he's talking to his attorney. His attorney actually is the one that helped write these checks. So he facilitated committing the commission of a crime? I don't know. Let's ponder that for a second. Did he commission the crime? I don't know. What do you think? I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't know. I wasn't there. I didn't have the privilege of sitting in the courtroom. I will be making every effort to be in the next case that comes forward. I did not think this one was going to be the level of what it is.
Okay.
But basically that act that he was doing needed to have been done to cover up another thing that is a crime. So kind of like they say, lying is worse than the offense you committed.
Yeah, because once you lie, you have to
remember
that lie and commit.
But sometimes the cover up is worse.
Yeah, it makes it worse. It's like a domino effect.
President Nixon had to resign from office because he did some things that he shouldn't have done, and he was a good president. I liked Tricky Dick. That was his nickname. I liked him. Richard Nixon. Richard, you know what his middle name is?
No.
Richard Milhouse.
Milhouse?
Yes. So anyway, gotcha. Never shout out, Sinan. So
let me get you out of the sea hole.
I'm out of the sea hole. I'm just trying to stick to my notes a little bit because I want to explain it to the folks. It's a special edition of the show. We're going to be going live later on today, tonight, on another station that I'll be on. I'll be putting that information out. But I just wanted to get the basic understanding. Okay, so the 34 counts are apparently each check that was written. Okay, each check that was given to Stormy Daniels and listed as a legal fee. I don't know. Okay, but moving forward, nobody mentioned, I didn't hear anything about campaign finance. It's business records, not campaign records. I don't know. Potential penalties. There is always the chance of spending time behind bars, as you would say. They don't really have bars, and it's regular buildings with doors, but very thick doors. But I highly doubt that would happen. But everything you do when you speed at an excessive speed, depending on the state you live, it actually could become a crime other than a traffic violation. So there's a lot of things you and I could all go to prison for or to jail for. And if you wanted to sit down and shout out to Alan Dershowitz, because I'm stealing this quote from you, Professor. If you sat down and poked and prodded through any person, no matter who they are, you could find a crime to charge them with. Because everybody commits a crime every single day, no matter who you are. And that's a fact. Wow. Right from the mouth of Professor Dershowitz, it's fact. I believe anything that he says. To a T, but I believe it, and I know it myself. People commit crimes every day. So remember that when you're out there, okay? Remember what it must feel like to be on the other side. So the implications are, or the potentials are probation, potential jail. These things are not going to happen. He is scheduled for his sentencing hearing on July 11th. Four or five days before the Republican National Convention, where he officially is given the endorsement of being the Republican nominee for president. Now, there is nobody else running against him, so we know he is the Republican nominee. We know this already, but we call him the presumptive nominee. It's kind of like when you're elected president in November, you're president-elect. They add that word elect at the end. Because you didn't take oath. He's the presumptive candidate right now because the official will be on the 11th, on the week after the 11th, when they all the electorates and I'm one of those electorates, or not now, but I have been, where I cast my ballot for presidential nominee. So keep that in mind because that's a significant that the 11th of July is when they intend to impose penalties. So there's a whole appeals process, and I'm going to get into that. And this might have to be a two-part special because I don't want to go too much. The significance of this case, though, is far more broad than we all can see. Far more broad. Because don't forget, starting today, President Biden's son, Hunter Biden, who was dishonorably discharged from the Navy for using illegal substances, who has several charges for illegal weapons possessions and situations with hookers, pornographic pictures and scenes that I've personally seen some of these pictures and videos that he sent out to people of himself. with people.
It was really stupid of him.
And all of these other things. Don't forget there was a white substance found in the White House. We never, ever heard about that again. So he now...
I'm sure it's not pancake mix.
No, exactly. But now he now is now going to be... They're preparing the jury for his trial. So it's not good. This is not good. He will go to jail. That I can probably say with a good... if I was going to put the Senate, the Chinati vote on that one, like I did on other Supreme Court, he's going to see some time. Now,
oh, no doubt.
If I was, now I'm going to continue going, but if you want a good thought, if I was President Biden, this is what I would do. Because America is in crisis. United we stand, remember. Immediately, President Biden has the executive authority by the pen to pardon President Trump of all criminal charges, meaning it's over, done. And then any state charges that were being moving forward, he could contact the governors of those states and say, for the greater good of the United States, please pardon President Trump in those states. Let's stop this. Then I would wait a couple days. And if I was President Biden, I would pardon my son. And I would pardon my wife, and I would make sure that the next president, whoever it is, pardons himself on the way out the door. That's what I would do. Not because I think if you committed crimes, you should walk, but I don't think it's healthy for our country.
I know.
For us to be going through right. this. So I don't think we need to be dragged through multiple Donald Trump trials. We don't need to be dragged, having Hunter Biden on the front page of the newspaper every day. And you know what? Whatever crimes he did, they are minuscule to the things that are going on. 74% of cases are downgraded in Manhattan County or dismissed. So Hunter Biden, I would say, but for his last name, would not be where he is, but for his last name.
Right.
So I believe that we should just pardon everybody at this point and start kind of like a clean slate and move forward. United we stand. Because we are being laughed at by other countries.
I don't think that's going to happen.
But I think that's honest, what I would do. Like, President Sinatti would do
it
that.
It would be a nice...
Congressman Sinatti, one day maybe. Congressman Sinatti would definitely make a motion to try to get that through.
Biden's people wouldn't allow it.
President Biden.
President Biden.
We never refer to our president.
President Biden's people.
Yeah.
I don't think
they'll let him do it either. Call to Jill Biden, to the First Lady. You're a doctor. You hold a doctorate degree.
Yeah.
You're a fellow educator like myself.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to your husband.
Hmm.
It's the good of the country. I don't want to see him prosecuted either when he leaves office. I don't want to see that. I really don't want to see that happen. I don't want to see Hunter Biden go to jail for something that everybody else did. Not everybody else. I don't want to say that, but a lot of people do. Apparently, even in Manhattan. And they get away with it. So nobody should pay for political retribution. This is what they do in banana republic countries. This is what they do in countries that are ones that we don't go to, that we're afraid to travel to. You know, Russia, Iran, Iraq, even more so under the reign of Saddam Hussein. Syria, China, North Korea. You know, we don't want to live like that. So I don't want to see our presidents, and I don't want our American flag dragged through the mud. Literally, I don't want our nation dragged through the mud. Now, there obviously, there will be an appeal. Obviously, there will be an appeal. I see many avenues of an appeal here. I've talked about the appeal on even the election, but let's just start with the case. The appeal.
Oh, yeah.
The appeal. Firstly, he's going to appeal.
And this is, how long do you think it's going to take with the appeal?
Oh, this could go on for quite a while.
Yeah?
Here's an interesting fact.
Do you think it's like up to like the next presidency, until the next one after that?
Well, here's the thing. Once he gets into office, then it doesn't matter.
Okay.
And here's the thing, folks. With these 34 felony convictions, he's not barred from holding office. How many people in Congress can say they have a criminal record? I don't know. If you're watching the TV show, you see I'm smiling at the camera.
Right.
Because Congress There's a lot of you guys with criminal records. Hey, I'm not one to speak. We all been politically persecuted at one point or another. And then some of us took liberties, not myself, but others have taken liberties and done things to bring problems amongst themselves. But that still does not bar you from holding office, right? Because you did not commit an offense against your nation. So right. Regardless of these 34 felony convictions, he could still be president of the United States. And as it looks right now with poll numbers, he may very well be the president again. And then when the appeal goes through, he might ultimately be found not guilty. Now, here's an interesting piece that's not in my notes, and I'm going to try to squeeze it in. But let's just say, and I don't want this to happen. And when I say not Donald Trump not winning,
okay.
I'm not talking about that's what I don't want to happen. I don't have a pony in the game. I don't have any skin in the game. Whoever wins, I hope they do the best for our nation. But if he doesn't win, if you think in 2020 he made an argument that he won the election and it was stolen from him, he has an argument, a legal argument, to say that he was not afforded his First Amendment right to free speech. He did not have the fair access as President Biden did to run for president, but for he was forced to be sitting in courtrooms and he was given a gag order with threat of fines and jail time for speaking. When does a judge get a chance? When does a judge in any history in this country have the right to tell the president or the number one, the presumptive nominee, who was a former president and is running for re-election, essentially, have the right to tell him he can't speak and put a gag order on him and threaten him with prison and fines? So if he should lose, I'm sure that will be an issue that'll find its way into the Supreme Court. Okay, so I just wanted to put that in there because I really believe that will be an issue. And I do not want to see. I never condoned the January 6th events. I condone your right to free speech. I condone that. I do say yes. You had a right to stand up and chant and scream and yell and demand. But you did not have a right to storm a building. You did not have a right to break windows and right. to trash government property. You did not have a right to disrupt the political process. Okay? Right. There is a protest and then there's disruption. Let's be very clear. Sanati is being very clear on that. Okay? However, I understand the frustration and the feeling. Now, I'm not a MAGA Republican or whatever you want to say. However, I'm going to add a little caveat to that. I am a MAGA American. I'm all about America being great. That has nothing to do with Donald Trump, President Trump, or President Biden. Right. It has to do with America is great. And anything we can do to keep America great. And today we're not so great. Okay? We're not looking so great today. But anything we can do to be great, then I'm happily MAGA all the way. And if that means somebody else wins the election, or the third party Kennedy, I actually like him. I would have no problem with that. To be honest with you, I really would not. I support my president across the board. I do. I just don't think that we need to be putting out our dirty laundry to the world. Okay, so right. With that, the political impact, firstly, well, this case is just likely underscores the importance of transparency into the adherence of legal standards and political campaign and how they intertwine and how they're not connected. There is a legal standard that goes across the nation. It's a standard that everybody that is involved in the practice of law, we all understand what the standards are. There are reasonable person standards, reasonable articulable suspicion, probable. There are things that are just in the crux of legal standards. This situation is going to have to bring some transparency to what is truly going on. Because this is not the only time this is happening. Many people have been persecuted and prosecuted for crimes that maybe weren't even crimes.
All right.
Borderline crimes, or just plain prosecuted because they're afraid of them or they're your political rival. And okay. There is nothing more than this show was created as a hostile zone to people that use their position and their power and your tax money for their personal gain by targeting their enemies. That is something that they do in North Korea, in China. That is not something we do in the United States. We're gonna do a music break because I'm falling into a city hall.
Okay.
What do you got queued up for us here, Miss Bianca?
Yeah, I felt we should put a Lee Greenwood.
Just because we're doing some music, folks. You're coming right back because I got some great analysis for you.
I want to unite. You know, Lee Greenwood. God bless the USA. All right. God bless the USA.
God bless the USA. That's right.
From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. There ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Wow. Gotta love us some American pride. Okay, Miss Bianca stepped off for a second. We're back on here. Thank you for sticking along with us. All right, moving forward with my in-depth notes here for you, if I could get them open again. Okay, so we were really talking about the full effect here, and we needed to do a little break on a good song there. So I'm glad that we were able to do that. If you have requests for songs that you are interested in, you want to hear, feel free to reach out to the show. If you're a new and upcoming artist, reach out. Maybe we want to play your song. Okay, so what is the political impact? Well, the political impact here on this probably is not too much on President Trump, because he's an older gentleman. He's got a lot of money. These are very, very minuscule convictions. Very minuscule. It will not alter his life in pretty much any way. Let's be real. It's not going to. If anything, he raised millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars in less than a day. People were donating that his website and donation sites were so jammed with people that they shut down. They weren't even able to collect money. You know that that's not made up, because they're not going to tell you to turn down an opportunity for a dollar. So many people stepped forth to do that I think, in Sinatra's opinion, I think they just might have reelected him by moving forward with this. That's just opinion. But anyway, reactions are all over the place, though, because everybody's got a different opinion. My opinion is we are Americans. Yes, we are a two-party system. Yes. I understand and get that. But when election season is done, we are Americans. We are Americans through and through. And as Americans, we need to be united, just like on my pin here. We need to be united, and we need to look forward. Because again, like Lincoln said, a house divided cannot stand. We cannot stand. And there are so many nations out there. There are terror groups. There are state-funded terror organizations. There are governments directly counting on the fall of the United States. Let's not give it to them. Let's not give it to them. So the reactions out there have seemed to have been that it's either one or the other. It's either given President Trump some additional polling points. I believe Daily Wire, DW, had a poll out today giving Trump an additional 6 points that he gained since the last one. So he was already ahead in the previous poll, but now this poll that they did added an additional 6 points. Other one, I know Fox ran a poll. Everybody's running polls. There is some science behind this. So I do look at everybody's to make sure they're not jaded and nobody's configuring the numbers to where it fits their narrative. But either way, no matter who you looked at, it did appear that either he gained a couple points or it didn't affect him much. So what does that mean? That the people that are voting for him are voting for him. They're not leaving his side. And if anything, they might be coming closer to him. I don't know. It's the first day after his conviction, and he raised a ton of money in a day. But this type of discord and internal strife is very, very reminiscent of the conditions that led to the fall of ancient Rome. Rome was the mighty power of the world. You know, like Caesar, right? We know all about this, right? The Roman Empire, you know, the Italy, all the beautiful buildings. Well, Rome was a mighty, mighty force. They controlled the majority of the globe. They fell. Rome fell. You know the saying, Rome wasn't built in a day, but it fell mighty quick. So this, I just wanted to connect those two things for you folks as I pull back that curtain, because Rome fell and no one ever thought that would happen, because Rome sprawled across the world. Hello, Miss Bianca. She's coming back in. I was just explaining to the folks that this, to me, jump right in. Come on. All of this nonsense is very similar to, it reminds me of the fall of Rome. Oh, Rome really? Was the superpower. They controlled the globe, right?
Yes.
Everywhere. But they fell. So this reminds me of that situation. Let's not be the next Rome. Now, with that, knowing that I said that, do we want another civil war in this nation? Do we have another Abraham Lincoln to get us through strifes and conflict like this? Who's it going to be? I'm okay with whoever it is. Is it going to be Donald Trump, President Trump? Is he going to step up? Is it going to be Gavin Newsom, Governor Gavin Newsom out of California? Is he going to be come out and try to put some clarity? Is Governor Ron DeSantis, or how about my buddy Senator Ted Cruz out there, love him to death? Are they going to come forward? Who is going to be the voice of reason?
I don't know.
And who's going to be our next leader? Another person to pay attention to? Former Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard. Very, very, very smart. Very smart. She left the Democratic Party. She left them behind. She didn't say she's a Republican. There are Republicans that are bailing out a little bit on the Republican Party. And there's a little bit of a difference between certain Republicans and other Republicans that see eye to eye. Marco Rubio, a Florida senator, I know you spoke. We need you guys. And I don't care what party it is. Governor Newsom, if you are considering a run, then this is your time. Be the voice of reason. Help quell help quell America. Help ensure that we don't have any violence. Let us come together. I'm not. I'm sounding too spiritual here for a minute. And no, this is not my announcement of campaign of running for office yet. In case it sounded that way to anybody.
Let's get you out of the seat.
Well, I got somebody commented in and I saw that. Are you making an announcement? But whoever it is, we need to fix things here. That is very, very important. This is just something we cannot have. So in conclusion, as we await further developments, it is very clear that this case is going to shape the political and legal discourse for many, many years. We opened Pandora's box, and God knows what's going to come out. That's why I said if I was any former president, or really any person who held a position of political power, mm-hmm. I would be worrying. Because apparently statute of limitations didn't mean much to District Attorney Bragg. So if I was a Democrat right now, I might be worried about some smaller Republican prosecutors in some of these states. And I'm not by any means saying, let's go out and have a targeting. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I would just be watching out for that. And I would hope that that doesn't happen. The implication of a former president's conviction will extend beyond the courtroom. It already did. It extended beyond the courtroom. It extended beyond the Manhattan County. It extended across the nation. The whole world is talking about it. Okay. It's affecting how we view accountability and the rule of law in our nation. And we are a nation of laws, right? In this very book right here. I got a couple of copies. We're going to have some in the merch shop. I got them coming in for you guys. I'm going to be sending out free copies, and there'll be some for sale for donations. But anyway, this is going to affect the rule of law. And this is a test. This is the test to see how strong our justice system is and how strong the framers and founders of our nation put effort into the value and power of this document right on our wall. Because right at the end of the day, the Constitution has to guide our way. So ladies and gentlemen, tonight's call to action. We got to give you one of those in this show. So now more than ever, it's crucial that you and I stay informed and engaged, okay? However that is. When I'm teaching, I tell my students, watch Fox News, then watch CNN, then watch MSNBC, and now watch Newsmax. I watched Cuomo last night. It was a great show. He had Bill O'Reilly on. Cuomo's a great show on News Nation. Shout out to you. Good show.
I watched both sides.
Yeah, he was very reasonable, respectful, and he made some very valid points. I welcome you on my show, and I obviously would love to be on yours. So my invite to you to come to your show, Mr. Cuomo, is out there, okay, just in case, like he was thinking, oh, let me invite Sonati on.
All right.
He'd rather have Bill O'Reilly. But Jesse Waters might invite me on. Have me on. Jesse, come on over here.
Well, I wouldn't mind Jesse Waters.
No, I'll get out of here with that. But I do encourage everybody, my call to action, that you must stay informed. And I say this forever. Google is not the answer. Find the real truth. And like I told my students, watch different news stations. Come to the hostile zone. Pay attention. We have new stuff coming out. And there's another show coming out directly. Eric A. Sinani, Unhinged, Power, Politics, and Money. I think that's the name of it. And that is going to be where I'm going to just be me dissecting cases, Supreme Court cases, and legal current events. And I'm going to take your questions. And we're
going to
talk
it.
About it. We are also, I will be providing news on another network out in California, but they are a syndicated station, and we're finalizing that deal. And you might be seeing me on that channel this evening. Anyway, I encourage everybody to follow all of the developments in this case closely. Even if you think it's irrelevant, it's relevant because details matter. Details matter because the devil is lost in the details, folks. Okay?
Yeah.
So the smallest thing changes everything. When you read a sentence and you put a semicolon in, it changes the whole sentence. That little semicolon or a period changes, it makes a new sentence. Those are details. Very important. Pay attention around, folks. 360, 365. Keep your head on a swivel. And if you can't come to me, I pull back that curtain and I will tell it to you like it is. I give it to you as it is. I give you my best analysis of it. and I give you a very fair and unbiased opinion of what it is. Participate in discussions. But when you participate in discussions, folks, have respect for the other person you're talking to.
Yes.
And bring an argument to the table. And I don't mean, when I say an argument, I'm talking law school, I'm talking lawyerly. Bring some knowledge or something to the table. We say in law, legal world, you know, bring an argument, make an argument. Make
and
an argument.
Don't break up families or friendships.
Right.
Because it's just an opinion.
And do not let this stuff destroy your family.
Right.
Okay? Politics is politics. It's not your life. Some of us choose to make to do it as a career. But I don't pick my friends based on. My
right.
best friend in the world is not anything. I barely could get him to vote for me. His mom took my sign off the lawn when I ran for office. Not because of any other thing. It's because they are very strong Democrats. However, they are family to me. So that's how you choose your friends. And that's how I roll. I treat my friends because I want them to be my friends because they have something that I admire about them. And there's something that they admire about me.
Yeah.
And you learn more from the opposite than you do the same. Nobody wants a yes man. You know who wants a yes man? A person that doesn't have the cojones to do anything on their own. They don't have the knowledge or the brains and the intellect to do it on their own. Mm-hmm. So they want everybody else to yes on the desk so they feel good. When somebody comes on my set, on my show, and we watch the show for editing, I let every intern or whatever give me the truth of what they have to say about me. If I look like crap, I sound like crap, and I'm critical of myself, am I not?
Yeah.
I listen to the show and I watch it. I listen to all versions of it. Okay, so moving forward, your voice matters, folks. Your voice
it
matters.
Does.
Just think about those 12 jurors on that trial. Their voice mattered, right? Because if one person of those 12 did not vote to convict, it would have been a mistrial and would be a different. I wouldn't be having this special edition of the show today.
Very true.
Right. So remember that you need to, in order to convict, all 12 jurors must convict. If one says no, that's it. So remember that. Okay. So your voice matters. Keep that. But transparency in governance is key. Okay. Stay tuned. Stay vigilant. Let's continue together to navigate this process. These are challenging times. And you're here for me as I'm here for you. I can't, this, me talking to you is therapeutic for me as an American, watching all the nonsense that's going on. And you listening to me is an opportunity for you to hear a different opinion and a learning experience for you to learn. So we both gain something from this. So we are together. We are united. Okay? Keep that together. Because remember, again, Lincoln said, a house divided amongst itself cannot stand. And I just want to leave it with one more. In the words of Benjamin Franklin, justice will not be served until those who are unaffected are outraged as much as those who are affected. Mm-hmm. Let this be your call to action to stand up for justice and integrity. Just understand what Benjamin Franklin is saying. It could be you next that's prosecuted because somebody doesn't like you. So you need to be as outraged as if it happened to you because it could. On that note, folks, I thank you very much for coming to the Hostile Zone. Pay attention because we'll be back out there again tonight with some more information. Miss Bianca, closing note on you.
All right. Just
anything
never,
to say?
Always be united.
Always be united. Love your country.
Love your country.
Love your country. I don't know what else I can say. Love your country. Folks, love your country. Don't go anywhere because Miss Bianca is going to make you feel truly American. Give it away, Miss Bianca.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. We're so gallant.
and it's not going anywhere.
Oh, say does that star-spangled banner wave for the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Wow.
Thank you for listening to The Hostile Zone, because in Sinatti's zone, I hear everything, everywhere. For everyone else, see you next Monday for more outrageous talk, where we pull back the curtain and hold no punches. From me to you, have a great week. And remember, everyone, treat others kind, treat your family kinder, and always love our country.
That's right. Sinatti heard you.
In your face!